I get it. I get it. It's a little bit of a rooster overreaction for me, but I just see more and more injuries with this Commanders team, and I'm just going, God, it feels like last year. It does. Maybe it's a scar. I'll admit it. If I need to sit on the couch and get a little therapy, Kevin Sheehan can help me. How about that? Nick Ashew, Team 980. Kevin Sheehan jumps on with me, host of the Kevin Sheehan Show, right here on Team 980 as well. Look, the conversation now becomes whether or not starters will, while some starters are going to play Kevin, it looks like not all of them. Jaden Daniels is the big one here. I'll just throw right into it, man. Do you want to see him play? Do you want to see him out there at all? Because, like, preseason's gotten to the point now where there's just so little value in it anymore, and they show nothing with these offenses.
I mean, I keep going back and forth on this. Like, Ben asked Quinn a good question today. He's like, just try to explain the value of, like, a series or two versus the risk of putting out. Like, what's the value, really, of a series or two? Remember the Chargers game last year? It was the first game back after the Green Bay injury, and literally he and the offense looked terrible first two possessions. And then the rest of the game, he absolutely lit the Chargers up and looked like he did in 2024. Like, two series are nothing in an NFL game. You know, like, you get the ball 9-10 times, and sometimes you get into the flow of the game, and then the good stuff comes later. So, I don't know. It's one of those things, Nick. It's like, I think you got to leave these decisions up to the professionals who are actually out there and really know what they need before the opener in Philadelphia. To me, though, there is something that makes sense about a dress rehearsal when you have a new coordinator, a new center, now he can't go, a new receiver, and you got so much that's new out there. Why, go into the first game having not done it together? I don't know. We'll see.
But, it's like preseason has just changed so much, too. It used to have more value, and it used to be a little bit of a shorter season. And, you have starters playing at least one game into the third quarter sometimes. And I'm sure you've seen it, the Tom Brady touchdown pass to Randy Moss all over the social media with, it's like 5 minutes to go in the third quarter of a preseason game. And he's like, I played football when there was football. Yeah, it just feels like now you're right. That's kind of where I am, where it's like the value of a couple of short drives where you're not going to see much. Because, Kevin, last year, man, we thought they were going to run the hell out of the football with what we saw against the Bengals in that one drive in the preseason. I was like, Chris Rodriguez got faster. They're going to hand the ball off. They're going to have a balanced offense. And then we saw, like, none of that during the regular season. So I just worry that you're in this spot now where there's just really no value in him being out there. But at the same time, then you start week one and this offense looks terrible and they're going to be like, see, you should have played in the preseason.
Yeah, and people will say that, but it doesn't mean that the people that say that are right.
This is true.
The bottom line is preseason NFL football has devolved into a totally worthless product for us, the consumer, and for the teams, it's simply a matter of being able to evaluate the players who are fighting for roster spots, 45 through 53. Some teams, it's probably only 50 through 53. And then determining what the next 17 are going to look like on your practice squad. That's what you're doing in these actual preseason games. Some people believe that that's actually what you're doing in the joint practices to a certain extent as well, because you're not showing much there either. So the whole thing is a ruse, basically, where, they're not paying the players and everybody's sitting around and it's football on TV that gets great ratings, but it's not really football. We don't know anything about any of these teams until they start to play real games. And even when they start to play real games, it takes 5, 6, 7 games to figure it out.
Where is your level of concern with specifically Nick Allegretti? Kind of shifting to a new position. I know he's learned some of it. It's not like he can't play it, but missing all this time, the chemistry, new offense, that's a lot that he's got to catch up on.
So when they cut Tyler Biadasz, we were all surprised. Like, really? He was pretty decent. Then, was it Tyler Linderbaum that was plan A? My guess is it was plan A. And the price got ridiculous and, let the Raiders pay him $29 million a year. Plan B, I do think, was Allegretti, because I think they really like him and they think he's a great communicator. They think he's really smart, and that's what maybe was his edge. But what if he isn't healthy and has injury problems? What's plan C? That's the problem. I actually feel fine about Allegretti because they feel okay about Allegretti. It doesn't mean they're right, but there's some level of confidence there that, you know, he's not going to be a major downgrade from what they had. But what's plan C if he's banged up and can't go? That would be the concern. And by the way, wouldn't surprise me over the next week or two if he just keeps missing and he's ruled out for another week of practice, if they start looking for something that's maybe not in the building currently.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too, is we spend so much time looking at what these rosters are in camp now, and guys get cut all the time that, you know, it's just a numbers game there. So, yeah, I think there's
a lot. Yeah, I mean, Noah Brown was added, you know, 5 days before the opener, and on bad teams, you see a lot of, well, you know, there's 6-7 guys that weren't in camp that ended up being on the week one roster.
What do you think they do at running back? Because we obviously saw a couple of, you know, we see a 6-round pick and an undrafted rookie both have really good opening preseason games. We expect more from Bill this year, and I think that, you know, this feels like you could maybe keep 4, but you've just got this numbers game across so many other positions. And again, I know it's only one preseason, but do you think this becomes one of those, hey, let's add another running back because we can really balance this offense a little bit more?
I think, first of all, Rashad White is going to be a major, major contributor, and he's going to be, I think, much more of a split or even a majority of the snap counts, of the snaps, especially early in the season, than maybe fans think. I could be wrong about that, especially with the hamstring and the whole thing. And I know that they are confident in Kroski Merritt, but going to Philly, going to Dallas, having Seattle come in week 3, you got to have a veteran running back that can pick up, you know, the pass block aspect of the game, and be more of an all-around back. And I think they'll have confidence in him being out there. After him and Bill, I mean, I would imagine that, you know, Jeremy McNichols will be on the roster. If he doesn't start the season on the roster, he'll start it on IR because he is currently legitimately banged up. I really liked what I saw in Robert Henry Jr. last week. I think he is a more natural zone runner than Catron Allen. But Catron Allen has some ability, too. Who, by the way, what running back gets 23 carries in a
preseason game? Dude, it was a ton of carries. I couldn't believe it.
23. It's insane. That's what I would expect. You know, those 4 with Allen and or, you know, Henry Jr., I'm going to assume it's going to be Allen. But Henry Jr., they had back on punts last week, kickoffs. They clearly wanted to see him, you know, under the lights to see if what they had been seeing, you know, during spring and summer was legit or not. And I think he, you know, gave them reason to believe it is.
And, you know, I think even if this team is healthy, Kevin, to start the season, there might be some level of, like, figuring things out still with the offense to where, you know, they've made some additions defensively here, and this defense might have to, like, carry's not the right word, but maybe pick up a little bit of the slack. And we've seen this a lot, right? Offenses early on in the regular season tend to struggle around the NFL. You get more, at least from the run game. Running back numbers are up from rushing touchdowns to rushing yards, and, you know, scoring kind of evolves as the season goes on, which, by the way, I actually really like the under 46.5 Commanders-Eagles week 1, if you want to dabble in that, because I think it's two offenses that are going to – they've got new offensive coordinators and a lot of moving parts. But, you know, I actually have a higher level of confidence in this defense as long as they're obviously healthy.
That sounds just like a neighbor. Neighbor Nick theory.
You know, a little bit.
Neighbor Nick theory, and we might be going opposite of that. Tim Murray and I might be. The defense carrying this team would really be interesting, wouldn't it? Because that defense last year and even the year before was really, really bad. So,
but we have to at least agree that it is definitely different than, like, they have made some significant upgrades there. Or you don't think there's upgrades?
No, it's different. It's upgraded. It doesn't mean it'll come together, you know, in terms of the pieces fitting. It doesn't mean it'll be coached well. We have to see. It's a first-time coordinator. But I do think, Nick, it would be nearly impossible for it to be worse than it was last year.
I'm
expecting it to be better. Whether or not it can carry this team early on, if the offense is still kind of growing and getting used to, you know, a new system, I don't know. That'd be great because, bottom line with this team, number one on the list, and everything is, you know, five steps down before you start counting, is Jaden Daniels going to be healthy for 15, 16, 17 games? If he is, then you've got a chance to win more games than you lose. If he isn't, it's your season's doomed, no matter what you have on defense or anywhere else.
Well, that's how the NFL is. It's all quarterback-driven, as we know. Talking to Kevin Sheehan here on the Team 980.
Especially when he's your best player.
Well, yeah. I mean, and then, listen, this is why they pay quarterbacks as much as they pay them, and it's just – I think that's one thing, though, that's just – right. Think of how many years we've looked at this team, and I've talked about it, and I know you've talked about it plenty, the amount of quarterbacks that have started for this team, and you just look at the names and go, oh, my God, we had no hope from the beginning of the year. Like, I can remember years, Kevin, trying to justify, you know, why Case Keenum or John Beck or Rex Grossman just, you know, maybe this is the diamond in the rough, and this team found, like, we, and again, lots of fan bases do it. We all do it when you're desperate to find that meaning. But I mean, if you look at some of these teams around the NFL that don't have a quarterback, you know their ceiling is lower. This is one of the rare eras for this organization where there's at least a level of hope because of what you just said. It's about the quarterback, the guy that's under center, and it's not John Beck and Rex Grossman or Jeff George or any of these other dudes that they've been throwing out there over the years.
You're 100% right. And I'll go even a step further. I mean, with Dan Snyder as the owner, Tommy and I would talk about this all the time. You had to suspend reality to have a real conversation about the team, because the bottom line was, as long as he owned the team, you were never going to be good. You know, you were never going to have sustained success. You know, you might hit the inside straight and go 9-7 and backdoor a playoff berth one year. But so you don't have to suspend reality anymore, because it's actually a professional and it's a competent organization. And then, to your point, because you have one of those guys and there are 10, 11, 12 of them in the league and that's it, you got a shot. You have a chance every year. And I truly believe he is going to have a big bounce back year. Last year, the people that have talked about regression and all this stuff, it's like, what are you talking about? He didn't even play. Yeah. I mean, he played in seven games, and he played only four start to finish. And in those games, he didn't have a supporting cast. So anybody that legitimately evaluates Jaden Daniels' second year is high. I don't see how you can do it. I don't see how any of it would make sense. He just didn't play enough football, and everybody around him didn't, that was, you know, frontline starter material, didn't play enough football. You just wipe it, you know, out of your memory, and you hope it's the aberration year where everybody gets hurt and you have a bad year, because he has stayed healthy with the exception of last year. He played 52 of 54 college games, and he played all 20 as a rookie, the 17 in the regular season. And if I have to remind people, the three playoff games that they had, I think he's going to have a big year.
If he's healthy, I mean, he can elevate this offense in so many ways, even with missing pieces on that offensive line that they're going to have to deal with. Before you go, right. I know you're a hoops guy too here. What do you think happens with the Anthony Davis situation with the Wizards?
I mean, I would hope that he has major incentive to have a big season so that he can either get traded at the deadline and get paid, or get paid when this year is over. I you know, you and I have talked hoops for as long as we've known each other. This is their best chance in a while to be a legitimate competitive team. And I think if he has a non-Anthony Davis injury type of year, meaning he plays 60, 65 games, I think they can win 44 or 45 and be a sixth seed in the East. So I am as fired up for a Wizard season as I've been in a long time. But I also know that it comes down to him being healthy, playing, being, you know, having in true incentive to play at his best so he can sort of affect his own outcome. Because the reason they got him so cheap, I mean, I think we think it was cheap, is because he's just not playing enough. And I'm hoping for you know, a season in which, you know, we can actually have meaningful basketball games for our pro team in town. Here's the thing, too, Nick. If he isn't healthy, they're not going to be a good team. It doesn't matter what A.J. DeBonta is as a rookie. Cooper Flagg was great, and they won 26 in Dallas last year. So I'm not expecting A.J. DeBonta to turn the team into a playoff team in his rookie year, even if he's really good, which I think he will be. But, yeah, that's... looking forward to that season as much as anybody's season in town.
Well, what, you're saying Trae Young can't elevate this team to a 50-win team?
No.
I mean, come on. There's no... Kevin, but in Atlanta, they... Oh, wait, they were a play-in team all the time. Never mind, just kidding. Yeah, I'm with, like... Well, the Trae Young thing is a whole other situation. I hate that they paid him that, but it is what it is at this point. But yeah,
it is what it is.
I can't have a choice. Yeah, you really didn't. Can't go back on it now. But yeah, I actually have a lot of high hopes for this team this year, and it's not crazy. We've seen teams make massive jumps in their win totals from one year to another.
Yeah,
so,
Toronto last year. Definitely.
I mean, we've watched the Thunder do it. We've watched the Spurs do it. We've watched the Pistons do it. We watched the Cavs do it.
Yeah.
So a lot of teams could do it. Kevin, good to talk to you, buddy.
But it comes down to him.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Without question. All right, man. Good to talk to you, buddy.
Thanks, Nick.
You're the best. All right, there he goes. Kevin Sheehan. Yeah, I mean, listen, Anthony Davis healthy makes this team. Anthony Davis healthy is one of the best bigs in the NBA still. It's just how often have we actually seen, even at 33, right? You're still there. It's there. It's just you're going to get a smaller sample size of it moving forward, but... yeah, I think you're still in a better spot where if you can sell high and trade Anthony Davis by the deadline, it's going to set this team up better. It really will. Nick Ashew, Team 980.
But first, let's get the latest on the world of women's sports presented by Allstate.